This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sends that one to left. Altuve going back, watching this one. That's a slam the other way. Trent Grisham, who already has his career high in home runs this year with 28. Previous career high was 17. It's number 29, and it's a slam. And all of a sudden, it's 6-0.
You know what? I did not see that. I heard some of the coaches saying that. But I don't know if it was if the clock was running and saying, like, step off. The pitch clock was running out. But I did not see that, so I got to go and look at it.
Is that something, Seth? And okay, we should probably set exactly what Joe Espada was talking about before I ask you this question. And Ben, have that Espada cut queued up again. The grand slam that you heard was by Grisham from the Yankees, made it a 6-0 game yesterday against Framber Valdez. If you watch the replay of it, it's very clear that Cesar Salazar, the catcher of the Astros, is waving Framber Valdez to step off the mound, you know, so they could reset, so they could, you know, collab for a minute there. Framber ignored it, threw a sinker right down the heart of the plate, and it wound up in the Crawford boxes. And that was it for the game. Like, the way the Astros are playing offense right now, that game was over as soon as that grand slam was hit. So a couple of pitches later to the next hitter, Framber Valdez threw another sinker when Salazar was clearly expecting a curveball, and it beamed him right in the chest. And the reaction of both guys involved here, and it looked like Framber was doing it out of anger or spite, I don't know, but it looked intentional. Framber said it wasn't after the game. But Framber's body language, he did not even put up the hands to say, hey, my bad, or anything like
right.
that. He just, you know, with a very surly look on his face, turned and walked back to the rubber. And Cesar Salazar took off his mask to throw a ball back out to Framber with a look on his face like, what the hell, man? Like, what
and
was that
of
all
the,
about?
None of the explanations make sense
no.
for why this happened. Salazar seems to be at least trying to take the high road or fall on his sword or what have you. And he's claiming that because of the buzz in the because of how loud it was because of the grand slam.
Yeah.
Mind you, this is the second pitch in the at bat after the grand slam.
Grand slam by the road team, mind you.
By the road team.
yeah, yeah.
That somehow that was where people weren't going to hear this. So okay, maybe that's the case. But then you've got Framber saying that he had called for a sinker.
Yeah.
And somebody in the press pool asked, well, how did you call for a sinker? You don't have the device that allows you to call for a sinker. Framber said, it wasn't necessary that I called it. It was just the pitch I had in mind.
It was the added
He called
in
for
mind,
a curveball,
yeah.
but I was already in mind that I was going to throw a sinker, so that's what I threw, and that's what happened. And yet, somehow, it wasn't intentional or a mistake or whatever.
Right.
None of it makes sense. I think it was, at the very least, whether he meant to do that or not, Framber did not look like he was in a good state of mind emotionally.
No. So here was Joe Espada in his media availability after the game. I'm going to replay the cut we just played. I've got a question for you about this, Seth.
You know what? I did not see that. I heard some of the coaches saying that. But I don't know if it was if the clock was running and saying, like, step off. The pitch clock was running out. But I did not see that. So I got to go and look at it.
Okay. This is where I get a little bit nervous with Joe Espada. That would seem to me, especially in light of the fact that there was a pitch two pitches later that looked suspect. You know, that Framber looked like he may have intentionally crossed up his catcher. Why are you waiting till after the game to go do fact-finding on this. Like, you're in the dugout with these guys. Like, that's kind of a big deal that there was a miscommunication during a swing that scored four runs for the other team.
I mean, maybe it was one of those things where the pitching coaches were talking to Fromber and they, you know, they kind of briefly updated Espada, but they didn't think it was a I don't know.
I mean, I'm not fire Espada over this, or I'm not. I hear that and I'm like, this sounds like something I would want my manager to fairly aggressively go find out what exactly took place.
Yeah, so and then in the locker room afterwards, it was interesting because there at one point Fromber is already in his street clothes and everything, and Espada was sitting in his full catcher's gear still.
Salazar.
Was in his full catcher's gear. And they were having some kind of a discussion, and then they went off to go meet with Espada.
Yeah.
So, man, we're sitting here. It's September. You're leading the division, and we're having a discussion about whether or not Fromber Valdez intentionally beamed his own catcher.
Yep.
It's the most Fromber thing that has ever existed in a long and spotty Fromber history. This is crazy stuff, man.
It's crazy stuff because with the way Fromber's been acting this year, it's almost like, well, I gotta do something I haven't done yet, you know, because I've thrown my teammates under the bus in multiple media sessions.
I've criticized the defensive positioning.
Check that. I lead the league in pitch clock violations. That shows an extreme inattention to detail right there. I didn't back up a base in a loss a couple of weeks ago. God, I got to find some new and exciting ways to really show off the fact that I'm not all that excited to be here. How about I ignore my catcher when he asks me to step off the mound, and then I act like it's his fault two pitches later by beating him in the chest with a 93-mile-an-hour sinker. I could do that. Nobody's done that yet. I'm going to do that. I 100% think that Fromber Valdez intentionally did that, because this version of Fromber, which I hate that this version exists, because in past years you had good Fromber and bad Fromber. This is evil Fromber right now. This is evil Fromber, and I do not like evil Fromber at all, but evil Fromber does not deserve the benefit of the doubt on this, especially with all the anecdotal and just the evidence that we've got here that this was something that once it was brought to everybody's attention, the Astros felt the need to manage this thing. We had a texter point out here, Seth. I saw an X that they were all, as you'd mentioned, they were all pulled into the manager's office after the game. I bet they were told what to tell the media to prevent the story from getting any bigger. I think they knew what to tell the media. I don't think either guy was going to say it was his fault, no, it was your fault, and especially Salazar. Salazar's not going to do that. Salazar's trying to keep a job in the major leagues. Fromber feels like, again, he's suffering from senioritis, and he wants to just get to the next contract.
All of those things of, okay, all right, are you that tender that you need to have your chosen Caratini? Can't do that. Yep, Salazar's screwing me all up.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I usually shy away from this in baseball because it seems like, for the most part, guys in any one season aren't going to hurt their value as a free agent. With the book that's already out there on Fromber, and the narrative has been kind of unfairly stacked against him, I think, in recent years, because people have talked about him like he's as erratic as he was in his younger days.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been, even this year where he's been erratic, he's still a 3.40 ERA pitcher. I think that usually any given free agent only has a few teams that really want to pony up big money. And it could very well be that one or two of those teams looks at Fromber this year and thinks, okay, well, gosh, if this is how he's operating when he's got everything to gain by walking a straight and narrow path.
Yeah.
And it seems like he's more erratic than he's been in the last few years. I don't know. I don't know if this is the guy that we want to pay $30 million a year.
It's not helping.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, it's not, yeah. And he's already an older guy that's hitting free agent. And he's like 32. Like, you know, most guys that are getting that second contract are, you know, are of his level, guys of his that are going to make his average annual value, to use a term that we used a little bit earlier. The guys that are going to be in that neighborhood are, you know, like Kyle Tucker, who's going to be 27 or whatever when he hits free agency. So he's already an older guy. The irony of it is that the guy whose contract from last offseason, who has most been associated with what Fromber could be looking for, Seth, is the guy who was across the diamond from him last night, Max Fried. Got 8 years, $218 million from the Yankees, so somewhere in the high 20s. 27, 28 per year, something like that. But for a long, long term, Framber ain't getting that. I mean, nobody's paying Framber till he's 40. You know, Framber is going to get, I think Framber's going to get a 3 or 4 year deal. And if that were the case, I would have said, well, the Astros can play in that neighborhood, I would think, if it were a shorter term deal. I think the Astros have to question, do you, at the price it's going to cost, do you want Framber Valdez back?
I think the fan appetite, at least, look, it's going to be at an all time low right this morning after this incident last night.
Yep.
And he's entered that category of, all right, I don't really care exactly what happened. It's that if you had to ask me before the game and I didn't know who was pitching, hey, there's going to be an incident and this is how it's going to play out during this game. Which pitcher do you think it is? How long would it take you to answer Fromber?
Oh,
this is exactly, he is the only pitcher on this staff that this situation could have happened.
No. This is how you know that this guy is the biggest lock, because the appropriate question would be, other than Fromber, who is the pitcher? Yeah. If you wanted to make it an interesting question,
it would be really, really hard
other
to figure
than
it out. Yeah.
Fromber,
yeah.
Who is the pitcher who's going to get into some sort of incident tonight? I don't know who the answer would be, but Fromber
not some kind of an incident. No. The incredibly rare, perhaps unprecedented incident of a pitcher beaning his own catcher.
Bean your catcher incident.
We're in a playoff race here.
I know.
It's September 3rd, and we're talking about whether or not Fromber intentionally beamed his own catcher.
Yeah, yeah. What? With Fromber, like, you and I, we're probably due for a circle of trust. We haven't done one in a while.
Yeah.
Like, the Fromber conversation with trust is totally different now. Like, it's not even, do you trust him to go out and give you 6 good innings? It's like, do you trust him not to bean one of his own teammates? Do you trust him not to get into a fight with somebody? This is not for people on the text page trying to make this a two scenario thing. Like, is this, you know, good Fromber versus bad Fromber? This is a different Fromber. You know, Michael Chiklis had a quote back in the first season of The Shield when he had to go in and interrogate somebody, and the guy, the perp, is sitting there at the table, and Chiklis walks in and he goes, "So, are you the good cop or the bad cop?" He goes, "I'm not the good cop or the bad cop. I'm a different kind of cop." And then he proceeds to beat the snot out of the guy. That's Fromber. Fromber is Michael Chiklis in season one of The Shield. He's not good Fromber. He's not bad Fromber. This is a different kind of Fromber right now. That's who he is. And there are people calling him a POS on the text page. This Fromber, September 3rd, 2025 Fromber, today's Fromber, might be the least popular Astros player that we've seen. The least popular good Astros player. Jose Abreu was very unpopular. Fromber might be the most unpopular Astros player for something other than sucking at baseball that we've seen maybe throughout today, this version of Fromber throughout this golden era of Astros baseball. People hate him right now.
I'll tell you what, Cesar Salazar still does sit there with a 0.00 ERA as well. Salazar is a better pitcher than him.
Jealous much?
Pitch com weirdness with him as a pitcher.
Yeah. Did he pitch one inning earlier this year?
He pitched a whole inning, didn't he?
I think he did too.
It was an entire inning.
Yeah. Chaz is probably jealous of him because of that. You know, Chaz is a...
He's got a 0.000 whip, Cesar Salazar does, whereas Fromber has the highest whip he's had since, I think, the COVID year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that's the other thing. Maybe I shouldn't say that, like, this is the most mad people have been about something other than baseball performance, because Fromber, other than his start against the Rockies a week ago, has been terrible over the last month. Yeah.
Highest whip since 2021, okay. Not the COVID year.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And he's been... Other than one start against the worst team, one of the worst teams in the history of baseball, Fromber has been abjectly terrible over the last six or seven starts.
I know a lot of people are asking, "Hey, what about the sports psychologist? Yeah. Where Nunez there, Andy Nunez?
Yes.
Is he around? How's he helping?" Ironically enough, yesterday was the first day of one of his visits that he makes to the major league team every year. So he was in the building and presumably in the ballpark during the game. I don't know if maybe it was one of those things where I don't know. He was working through some things from. I don't know what the hell happened.
Is he the team psychologist or is he Fromber's personal guy?
He's one of the team sports psychologists.
Okay, he is.
He's based in the Dominican Republic.
Gotcha.
So he works with the entire organization, but he makes specific, you know, he makes visits.
Does he set up a stand like Lucy used to? When Lucy was a psychiatrist and she set up a stand and for a nickel you could stop by for advice?
I'd like it to be more of like a confessional booth type of scenario.
Oh, yeah.
Just have guys come in and chat with him for 10 minutes.
Fromber, if it was a confessional booth about this season, Fromber would need like 2 hours in there with him.
Hey, what's it long? How long does confession take?
You asked me all these Catholicism questions, and
but you went to church when you were a kid, didn't you?
Yeah.
You went through your first communion and everything and all that stuff?
I don't remember anything, man.
You don't remember? Oh, wait a second. Okay. All right. Now we might have to be dead. We might need to call in the sports psychologist.
Yeah.
You might have some repressed memories here. You're telling me you don't remember anything from any of your childhood experiences in the Catholic Church?
I don't. I didn't. I never got fully confirmed in the Catholic Church. I went to Catholic Church as a kid. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, like you're asking me like I know this stuff. You do this all the time.
I feel like you've got to dig into some stuff here, man.
You do? Okay, you want to do that? You want me to dig into some religious background?
When somebody tells me, like, you can tell me various stories about your childhood, but you can't specifically remember
because
things that happened to you in the church?
I was never confirmed in the Catholic Church. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Yeah.
No, I'm worried about your welfare.
Yeah, no, I'm all right.
I'm worried about what you might be repressing.
I'm not repressing anything. I just don't have answers.
You can't say I'm not repressing anything. You don't know if you're repressing
Okay, well, I don't think I am. Like, but this is the...
I'm repressing nothing from that three-year block of my childhood that I don't remember.
This is the 15th time you've asked me questions about religion, and I never have answers for it. I don't know why you're still asking me. I never have answers. I don't know the dirty details of all this
stuff.
You're
an intelligent person, I would assume that you would just remember something from going to your
confession. How do you like that? I've never been to confession. Yeah.
Well, do you not? Okay, I'm not going to ask you this. Yeah. I'll ask the listeners. Do you not go to confession until after you're confirmed? Is that something?
Ask that. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm asking the Texans.
Yeah,
I'm not asking you.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I just didn't realize. I guess it was always just like a false ignorance that you were playing or something when you didn't know how to answer questions about the church.
Yeah. No. It's not. Yeah. It's not. It's not at all. Like I don't know those answers. I went to a Catholic university. Went to some Catholic church as a kid. And then stopped going to the Catholic Church.
We need to do a charity event where people battle for your soul. And they can come out and represent various churches and denominations and what have you.
They're battling for something that doesn't exist, Seth. They may as well battle for a unicorn. How do you like that? All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Hey, let's circle back. Nick Caserio sat down with us earlier today. We talked to the Texans GM for about 50 minutes or so. He talked about the new contract for Davis Mills. I like something he said about a position group on this team. The ultimatum, the cover charge to play this position for the Houston Texans. We'll have that for you coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.